Welcome back again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. I am Bill Boyd, the superintendent of this radio Bible school and the preacher at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And on Mondays, we do a special feature. What I do is write in the Rock Cliff Review, which is the name of our bulletin, our Sunday morning bulletin, and I write an article that pretty much captures the content of the sermon. Sometimes it supplements the things I preach, and sometimes it's pretty much a summary on our outline of the things that people are going to hear when we come to the worship service and I preach. And on Mondays, I like to read to you from the articles that have been in that bulletin. And on this particular Sunday that I'm referring to now, I was preaching a sermon on the Great Commission. And so also that is the title of the article in the bulletin called the Rock Cliff Review. Let me read that to you at this time. The Great Commission. The closing verses of Matthew. Matthew 28:18-20 are commonly called the Great Commission. The Bible itself does not call it the Great Commission, but commission is a fit designation. For in this passage, Jesus commits the mission of taking the gospel into all the world to his disciples. The following is why this commission is great. It is great because of the one who gave it. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Jesus had been demonstrating his power and authority from the beginning. In Matthew 27:29, it says he taught them as one having authority. He demonstrated his power when he calmed the seas with his voice, Matthew 8:23-27. When he commanded a legion of demons to depart, Matthew 8:28-34. And when he forgave sin, Matthew 9:1-8. Having risen from the dead, Paul wrote that Jesus was set far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, Ephesians 1:21. Paul later called him the blessed and only Pontiate, King of kings and Lord of lords. This commission could come from no greater source. The Great Commission is also great because of its great aim and purpose. Go ye therefore and teach, Matthew 28:20. That is the King James Version. Teach does not fully capture the idea expressed by the word Matthew used. The American Standard Version does better to render this passage, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." Jesus is telling his disciples to make disciples. They would do this by teaching them and baptizing them. Matthew said, "Make disciples, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," the American Standard Version. Upon baptism, the relationship is changed for the one being baptized from being one on the outside because of sin to one being on the inside because of the remission of sins. It is the salvation from sin that makes the Great Commission great. Hebrews 2:2-3 says, "If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" The Great Commission is great because of its scope. Teach all nations. Jesus had earlier sent some of his disciples out with a commission that was limited to the Jews of Galilee. Jesus had commanded the 12, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 10:5-7. Now the commission was to all nations, And as Mark recorded, all the world, every creature, Mark 16:15. When we read the word nations, we should not think of modern civil states with boundaries. The word Matthew used refers to ethnicities. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. The Roman Empire consisted of many ethnic groups, and the disciples were to teach them all. The United States is a nation of many ethnic groups, and we are to teach them all. We should think of every ethnic group as a mission field that has come to us. The Great Commission is tied in the Bible to the Great Invitation. Before the commission was given, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Matthew 11:28-30. After it was given, he had John write, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. Now that was the sermon that Sunday morning. I would invite you to get in your car and to come out our way to hear these sermons and to be part of this and see how it is that we worship according to the New Testament pattern. We want our worship to emulate the worship that was in the church in the New Testament. We want to teach what they taught and do what they did and be what they were. Romans 16:16 calls those old churches in the New Testament churches of Christ. And so on the sign out in front of our building, we identify ourselves as the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Rock Cliff being the location of the meeting house where we gathered together. And it can't be wrong to speak where the Scriptures speak and be silent where the Bible is silent and to do Bible things in Bible ways. And so come out when you can to our services. The meeting house for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now, having done this, we're going to return to our regular class for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we have been studying the period of the Judges, and we have come to Judges Chapter 13. Oh, let's see, is that right? Excuse me. We have come to Judges chapter 12. And so join with us. Open your Bible to the book of Judges chapter 12, and we'll read about this judge Jephthah and what finally happened to him, and then about some of the other judges that we read about in the book of Judges. Here we are in Judges chapter 12. The men of Ephraim were gathered together and pressed northward, and they said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and dost call not us to go with thee? We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye saved me not out of their hand. And when I saw that you saved me not, I put my life in thy hand and passed over against the children of Ammon, and Jehovah delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead, and fought with Ephraim, And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, "Ye are fugitives of Ephraim, ye Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim, and in the midst of Manasseh." And the Gileadites took the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites, and it was so that when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said unto him, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" He said, "Nay." But then said they unto him, "Say now, Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not frame to pronounce it right. And they lay hold on him and slew him at the fords of the Jordan. And there fell at that time of Ephraim 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite, was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him came Isban of Bethlehem, judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and sent them abroad. And 30 daughters he brought in from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. And Isban died and was buried in Bethlehem. Judges 12 and verse 11. And after him, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. Judges chapter 12 and verse 13. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hiel, the Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 sons' sons that rode upon 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hiel, the Pithronite, died and was buried in Pithrathon, in the land of Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. And now we have come to Judges chapter 13. And we're going to read the story of this great judge, Samson, of which we have heard so much. We'll begin his story in this class and continue it in a class to come. Judges chapter 13 and verse 1 begins. And the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. And Jehovah delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, "Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, 'Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb to the day of his death.'" Judges chapter 12 and verse 8. Then Manoah entreated Jehovah and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, let the man of God whom thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." I am going to stop the study at that point and mark in my Bible Judges chapter 13 and verse 9. But notice that request Manoah made, that we may teach what we shall do in the child that shall be born. Every parent that has held that first child in their arms has wanted to pray a prayer like that. "Lord, help me with this child, that I might teach them in the right way." And parents, if we will do right, our children will follow in our steps.